A man in the know is a man who had some great vantage points for some baseball playoff games. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I saw him up there on TV. Anytime they took a shot of somebody in that right-handed batter's box, he's Mr. Andrew Siciliano, Browns play-by-play. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Was I making faces? I often make
no,
faces.
No, you were good. I forgot to tell them that we talked about this on Friday. Or no, Thursday.
And no Aaron Rodgers thing, by the way. You had no Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I did not see. Nor scratch pick. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, I didn't. No. I didn't pick my nose and eat it like he allegedly did.
I don't think he ate it. I don't think he had a full pick either.
He had a pick going, Andy.
No, it was a scratch.
I haven't seen the video, to be fair. I read about the fallout, but I have not yet seen the video. You always have to know two things. A, the camera's always on, and B, the mic is always on.
Yep.
You guys know talented broadcast professionals as you are.
It's much deeper than that, too. You know, there's things out there like Live Barn that capture youth games all the time now too. So you look at those, man, you never know. You might be talking to an umpire saying something and that might get caught, and then you might make another manager mad at you. I don't know who that would have happened to, but I'm just saying.
By the way, that technology, and I'm sorry if it caught you, is phenomenal.
Oh, are you kidding?
Like for example, my brother came to the game Sunday. He flew in Sunday morning with my niece, his daughter, and they immediately have video of his son's Little League game, right? Which is going on as it happens. Oh, well, base hit right field. All right, here's the video. Like that is remarkable.
Yes, it is. Word is Jameis Winston will be announced as the starter for the Browns coming up against the Ravens. Personally, I can't wait to see what he does. It's a shame that Deshaun's season has come to an end the way it's come to an end. It's a shame that DTR's finger is messed up, at least temporarily. I want to see Jameis at quarterback. Andrew, I'm anxious to see him at quarterback. What about you?
I would probably second those emotions. I'm intrigued. I would like to see it. You know, you got to drive in the fourth quarter, push the ball downfield, got a touchdown out of it. Look, guys, they're dropping seven. They're rushing four. They really didn't bring any pressure until they got into the red zone. So it was what it was. It was an end-of-game drive. But I do think there's something to build on there, certainly. And you know, no nonsense here. A couple of years ago, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards.
Yep.
He threw for 30 touchdowns. Now he also had 30 picks, right? So I think you know what you're going to get. You're going to see some YOLO balls, and I hate that phrase. I heard you guys use it yesterday. But, hey, we'll act like we're younger. You're going to see some of those. And you're going to see him push the ball down the field. And, you know, maybe you'll see some touchdowns. Let's say this about the Ravens. Their pass defense, not good.
Dead last.
They're the only team of the NFL that's allowed over 2,000 yards through the air. Marlon Humphrey, one of my favorite people in the NFL, a question mark this week. Don't know if he's going to be able to play. You might get Arthur Maulet back. Maybe not. Their secondary, even though Kyle Hamilton, as Kevin described him last year, is basically Wemby playing center with his length. I mean, I'm sorry, playing safety with his length. There's still talent back there, but there are plays to be made.
What do you think? I'm looking forward to this game on Sunday because I think we're going to learn some things. I think people have been upset with Kevin Stefanski. They were upset with Deshaun Watson. They're upset with the offensive line. They don't understand what's going on here. They haven't seen enough out of the wide receivers. In some ways, when you throw a different quarterback in there, you're going to have a chance to see if the problems remain or I kind of think this is a little bit of a – I know they only have one win, Andrew, but this is a little bit of a reset and a refresh on the season as we look forward, not looking backward. I don't have aspirations of the playoffs, but I do feel like maybe we can see some things a little different with a different quarterback.
Your record is what your record is, and you got to own that. And, yeah, if reset is the word – then that's fine. It's another game. It's another week. It's an opportunity to see what the other pieces of the offense can do with a different quarterback. You still got to block for that quarterback. You still have to open holes for Nick Chubb or Pierre Strong or whomever. You know, lost in Nick Chubb's stat line, there weren't a lot of holes for him to run through. There were some on that opening possession, the third down run. He just got tripped up. you still got to block for whomever is back there, and you still have to line up right for whomever is back there, and you got to catch passes for whomever is back there. I thought the positives last week, Cedric Tillman, it was good to finally see Jerry Jeudy involved in the fourth quarter. Wish that had happened in quarters one through three, regardless of whether it was Deshaun or DTR. It's another division game, and you hope maybe a new quarterback can breathe some life into this offense. But all the other little things that went wrong, for example, in the red zone the first 6-7 weeks of the season, lining up right, all those things still have to get corrected regardless of who's back there.
Andrew Siciliano joining us play-by-play on the Browns Radio Network. You'll hear him coming up Sunday as the Browns take on the Baltimore Ravens. I ask these questions about the offensive line in hopes of getting it fixed. You tell me, because I don't have a good feel for it. Is it a different offensive line coach? I can't believe that Andy Dickerson doesn't know what he's doing, but Bill Callahan was a really good coach. Was it guys not getting healthy coming back from injury? Was it the line getting old? Was it Deshaun hanging on to the ball too long? What's going on, and how do they fix it?
Am I allowed to say yes? And
yeah.
I say that
yeah.
without sarcasm.
Yeah, you are.
It's probably all of the above. I mean, look, we spoke Sunday morning, Baskin, we did, about continuity. I know Jeff asked the question, but I'll address Andy. I know we talked about this on Sunday morning about continuity. There has been very little, if any.
Yep.
Last week, if memory serves, Nathan's sitting to my left. Nathan, was that last week the first time the O-line? Well, no, I'll answer my own question. Conklin didn't finish the game. I was going to say, has there been a week in which the starting O-line finished?
No.
Like the line that opens on the first play, did week one? No, it didn't happen week one. Did it happen week? Did Hudson finish week one? But you get my point. The fact that we don't know
so many different guys have played.
The answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The fact that we don't know the answer is the answer. I would love to see continuity from start to finish. And to me, that would tell you a lot.
When they had continuity last year, it seemed to work. You know, and so I agree with you on that, but it's just been such a mess that it has stunned me, Andrew, because even with everything that's going on, I thought it would be much better than this.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone agrees. Absolutely. Generally speaking, if you look at teams that make it to the very end, they have injury and starting continuity. And it's not always the case, but from start to finish in their offensive line, it is not the only box you need to check for success, but it is certainly one of the big boxes. Nathan here tells me that DeJuan did miss two snaps week one. So week one, I guess, would be the one that it appeared as if everyone that started finished. You also had James Hudson at left tackle there, which was less than ideal against Micah Parsons, and there are some other issues there that day. Listen, guys, I just need, and everyone, I think everyone, we all want the same thing: get through a game clean and have good offensive execution. That has not happened for the most part. You know, you're able to get it enough to win in Jacksonville, but the defense and the safety and getting off the field at the end of the Hail Mary were a huge part of that game as well. But that was a team win, certainly. You want all three phases together. The special teams didn't do their part this past week with a 100-yard kickoff return to open the game and then with a missed extra point and a missed field goal. Mm-hmm. So you need all three phases together. We haven't seen it.
I was going to ask you, do you think we have a kicking issue? With Dustin Hopkins?
I don't know. He's missed a couple.
I mean,
it is what it is.
See, they bring somebody in. We'll see what happens. I don't know. 4 points on the board against Cincinnati in that game, big deal. I mean, that's a huge deal.
Totally.
In a game that was, it could have changed the entire fourth quarter. I don't know. Are we?
Absolutely.
Along those lines, too. Are we okay with the having to declare for an onside kick at the end of the game? I don't know how else
that's
you could do that. I know. I'm just trying to think of.
It's the rule.
Maybe they open it to the last 5 minutes of the game and you don't have to say anything. I don't know. And go back to the original kickoff. I don't know if they would do that.
Or make it you can kick you can go onside at any point in the game in which you're trailing. I don't know. Listen, they are going to go back to the lab in the offseason with everything involved with kickoffs. They are likely going to change the touchback and probably move it up to the 40. They're not going to do that mid-season, but I think they knew even before the season that that was going to change and didn't want to make any drastic change before testing how the whole thing worked to begin with. But I do think that they will also re-examine the onside thing. I really do.
Lamar Jackson is looking like a guy who's been the most valuable player in the NFL. And you get to try and stop him. You get to try and stop him. How do they do it?
And you gotta stop Derrick Henry as well. I would make the argument that if Lamar Jackson is the MVP right now, I know Josh Allen deserves plenty of votes as well, and if he wins it, so be it. I mean, he's deserving. That you can make the argument Derrick Henry would be number two in voting. Guys, I looked it up last night. We have not had two teammates go 1-2 in MVP voting since 2001, when it was Kurt Warner 1 and Marshall Faulk 2, and the Rams ended up in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots take their walkthrough and beat. I'm kidding. No, but they ended up at the Super Bowl and lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots in New Orleans. So the Ravens have a chance to put guys at 1-2 or 1-3 or 2-3 in the MVP voting. Now, you only vote for one guy in the MVP. You vote for a winner and a winner only. But those two guys have combined for 1,300 yards rushing. Think about that.
Yeah, and we're seven games in.
And that doesn't even include the play he made against Sam Hubbard in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago where he's going out of bounds. And he stiff-arms Hubbard and then throws the ball into the end zone for the touchdown to Isaiah Likely, which I think is probably the play of the year in my book. Have you seen a better play than that? Individual play than that?
I don't think so.
I haven't. Yeah.
You know, one thing I think is cool, Andrew,
he's that good.
Is that, you know, everybody is wondering if Derrick Henry has any juice left. And John Harbaugh said, hey, we didn't bring him in here to carry the ball 30 times a game. And first half the other night against Tampa, boy, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are saying, is he injured? They haven't used him. He's had like four carries. Boom, you bring him in the second half, he's your closer. It was so fun to watch. He was so good.
I have said this from training camp. They are going to they have to be judicious in how they use him and the number of carries they give him because they need him for January. You're not going to run the guy. It's not going to be like Derrick Henry from 5 years ago where you give him 300 carries and then another 80 in the postseason. They're not going to do that. So they need to pick and choose where they use him, and maybe 1 week he sets the tone, and the next week he's the closer. Either way, he's hard to bring down. And for all these people that say, you know, I know Troy was kind of taking subtle jabs on Monday about the Cowboys not being able to afford him. Before the Alvin Kamara deal yesterday, and I've yet to see what the real money is on that, before the Alvin Kamara deal yesterday, Derrick Henry had the 10th largest guarantee at running back in the NFL. So there were nine running backs that had larger guarantees than the contract the Ravens gave him. So it wasn't just the Cowboys. There were plenty of teams that could have written a check.
Tell Nathan we said hi. Look forward to hearing the both of you coming up on Sunday.
Nathan is amazing with his use of multicolored pens. He is a machine sitting here.
I don't know how he looks.
Phelps is pretty good. I'm going to be honest with you.
Thank
Jeff
you.
Is very, very good. I'm going to have him send you over a picture.
I personally don't know how Nathan looks at his chart and sees anything because it's completely covered in ink.
I respect his method, though.
Yes,
it is a lot of tiny, tiny handwriting and chicken scratch, but it works for him, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Thank you, bud.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Siciliano, along with Nathan Segura. We'll be calling the game coming up on Sunday as the Browns take on the Baltimore Ravens.